Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Good to see the Rockies break out offensively. Bud Black told us 2 weeks ago, guys in our room, they've heard the talk.
Oh, yeah.
They've heard the talk.
No, they've heard it.
They're ready to come out and make some people look bad.
Yeah.
Well, last night they did make Arizona and Zach Gallen look bad. They beat him 7-5 as Bud Black's team. Slowly trying to put things together. Certainly a guy that's been off to a hot start hitting the baseball is Ryan McMahon. Three more hits, hitting a robust .415.
He's been one of the guys who's been consistent. I think with Mac, we've seen overall pretty good at-bats through the first 11 games here. It's been a good two-strike approach. There's been a middle-of-the-field type approach. He got the hanging breaking ball against Tampa for the grand slam. He should pull an off-speed hanging breaking ball. That ball should be pulled. He pulled it in the seats.
And Chris Bryant, who's tougher than Chris Bryant?
Nobody.
Misses a game over the weekend.
Tight back.
Everybody starts talking about, oh, here he goes, rehab assignments. Mm-hmm. He'll be back with the isotopes before you know it. Keeping his locker clean.
That's right.
Keeping it warm. But no, he's back out there. 1-for-4 with an RBI yesterday. Hitting .125.
Yeah, his, I mean, that's just it's kind of story that legends are made of. When you have
overcoming adversity like that.
Oh, his back was tighter than mouse nuts. And then he just came back out and played.
My goodness.
Second down.
A dominant wire-to-wire tournament performance by UConn, who barely trailed at all at any point during the NCAA tournament. They pull away from Purdue 75-60 to win their second NCAA title. And Dan Hurley, the coach, on what makes this back-to-back so special.
To lose that much and again, to do what we did again, you know, it's got to be as impressive a two-year run as a program's had since prior to whoever did it before Duke. To me, it is more impressive than what Florida and Duke did because they brought back their entire teams. And, you know, we lost some major players.
Can't disagree with that. Those teams in Florida, Duke, you know, that was back during a time where you knew you'd had a player for 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Now, with everything changing, for them to go back-to-back the way that they did, in today's landscape of college basketball, I think it's incredible. I'll put it up there with any 2 year run of any team that's won two championships
it is,
in a row.
It's pretty amazing, especially, you know, in the one and done nature of the tournament and how easy it is to have one night where you just don't shoot well or you just don't. I thought, like, you know, you can say whatever you want about UConn and their run, but the way they defended last night, the energy, the way they defended, the way they rebound last night, it was incredible. They just were on a different level than Purdue. And good for Dan Hurley, good for what he's got going on there in UConn. And, you know, I'm sure that teams like Kentucky will come calling, but he's got a great thing going on.
He already laughed it off and said, nah, no, I'm not going anywhere. Why does he need to go anywhere?
He doesn't.
He's winning.
He's in the epicenter of college basketball.
Coach Cal needs to go. He needs to jump before he's pushed.
To Arkansas.
Arkansas. Woo, pig, suey.
Third down.
Avalanche hosting the Minnesota Wild tonight. Hey, let's clinch that second spot. Home ice against Winnipeg in the first round, and then let's start giving some guys like Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar some rest, huh?
Yeah, I think that's
good. I don't want these two burned out by the time the playoffs come around. If there's a silver lining to Dallas coming in here and effectively ending their pursuit of the division, of the number one seed in the West, it's that, hey, you got a chance to take some guys who've really carried the load this year. Devontae, throw him in there as well.
Give them a little time.
A little time.
I agree with that. I think you need a little rest coming up here. Especially, I mean, they look like they need some rest the last couple of games between Edmonton and Dallas, right?
He's tired.
They are tired. I'm with that. I'm down with that.
You know, do clinch the second spot. I don't know if they clinch that tonight. No.
I mean, how many games do they have left?
Winnipeg, they only have four games left.
Well, now they're going to clinch it.
Well, Winnipeg's only 2 points behind, and Winnipeg's got five games left. They got one of your vaunted
Birds in the Bush game. Well, then how are you going to rest people?
Well, if you can win the next couple of games, get to the point where you clinch it, hopefully Winnipeg loses a game.
Oh, my. Well, they... hockey points.
Here's what you wish for, okay? Here's what you wish for. Win tonight at home against Minnesota.
Okay.
Then you don't play again till Saturday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You get 3 days off. Then you get Winnipeg in here Saturday night or Saturday afternoon.
Oh, you beat them.
Then you beat them. You effectively have clinched the second seed. Then you have another week of hockey with two games left, and those games are spread out. Sunday, you go back-to-back. You play Winnipeg Saturday, then Sunday at Vegas. At that point, you hope you've basically clinched the second seed. You can't catch Dallas. You are stuck right there. You're done. You don't have to send anybody out to Vegas. Let them have the day off, and then you don't. You wrap up your season the following Thursday at home against Edmonton.
But what if you want to take your moms to Vegas?
Why would you want to take your mom to Vegas? Seriously. Why would anybody do that?
They did that, right?
Did they do that?
Who did that? Who took the moms on a Vegas trip? Was it the Avs that took the moms? It's just a horrible idea.
Especially since Zach Wilson was seen lurking around the lobby.
1, 2, 3. Fourth down.
Nuggets, meanwhile, at Utah, where we found out that Michael Malone is 1-14 in Utah as coach of the Nuggets. That's an astounding stat.
That is. That's shocking.
That is shocking.
It's not like they produced a bunch of juggernauts, right?
No. So was there a place either in your Washington or Denver career where anytime you guys went there, it was like, oh boy, what is it about this place? Just bad mojo all around us. Any places like that?
My first couple of years in Washington, we just couldn't beat the Giants. No matter what we did, we're not beating the Giants for my first couple of years in Washington until 91. So my first, 2 years in Washington. Any bad mojo places? No, not really. No. Not really.
You dispensed a lot of justice. You won a lot of football games.
That is 100%.
That's a problem that Mark Schlereth can't comprehend.
It's not like, you know, the same thing as, you know, going to Houston back in the day or going to L.A. It's not like you got a lot of Utah. They shut everything down about 8:30.
Good point.
The whole city is shut
down. Good point.
Down.
What distractions?
Like, hey, let's go get dinner. It's 9. Oh, the city's closed. Sorry. It's Utah. So there's a lot of distractions.
No. I saw a couple teams this year in the NBA. I don't know who it was. Maybe, I think it was Dallas had an example where they played back-to-back games in Utah. The schedule did one of those mini series, back-to-back games in Utah that I think were spread out over the course of 4 days.
In Utah.
Right. For an NBA player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That had to be tough. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene. Up next, has this team really become the most popular team in Denver? That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
So I was out the last couple days with a severe case of windburn.
Yeah. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Wind gets on my nerves. Like, out of all the elements that Mother Nature throws at you,
mm-hmm.
Wind just gets on my nerves. It just...
you know, it puts my, you know, my shoulders get tight. I grind my teeth. The wind is just, ugh.
The wind is windy. Very windy, the wind.
Just, ugh, hated it.
I did not like.
Just nonstop.
We used to call it living in High Winds Ranch instead of Highlands Ranch.
Man.
A lot of wind. Sometimes it's really windy.
So I was following what was being said here, checking out some stuff at denversports.com. You know, I was trying to stay connected, right?
Sure, sure.
So I found with interest, Will Peterson was writing about it. James Marilat did an article about it. A new survey from the Colorado Polling Institute that reveals that the Avalanche are the most popular team in town. That 64% of the 632 voters surveyed, 64% said they were fans of the Avs, 63% that they're fans of the Broncos, 59% for the Rockies, and 57% for the Nuggets.
They pulled 630 people? Seems like a pretty small sample size.
I've always looked at polls with a very leery eye.
Right?
Not a big poll guy.
Right.
Come on.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
They're coming easy today.
Yeah. Just,
I don't know why.
I don't trust the polls. Never have.
Neither do I. But in this case, do you believe the Avalanche are the most popular team in town? Do you believe that or maybe the better way to go at it is, do you believe the Broncos are losing their grip on being the most popular team in town?
Well, I think that, you know, if you went in and surveyed a hockey bar, because I don't think there's nearly as many Avalanche fans as there are Rockies fans, Broncos fans. But I do believe that Avalanche fans there are probably more people that identify as Avalanche fan that are hardcore Avalanche fan.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that are hardcore hockey fans.
Whereas there would be, what, more casual Bronco fans?
Like, they would, if you said, okay, we're all Bronco fans, I would say that there is a smaller percentage in the overall group of Bronco, even though the group of Bronco fans would be much higher or much larger than Avalanche fans, I believe that there would be a smaller group that would identify as hardcore Bronco fan. Where I think, like, if you're an Avalanche fan, I think if you're, like, there are more hardcore Avalanche fan than there are Nuggets or Rockies or Broncos. You know, it's kind of a per capita type of thing.
Even with the struggles of the Broncos, I think you would be hard-pressed to find any city in America, not just Denver, any city in America, where there's an NFL team, that NFL team is not the most popular team in town.
Well, sure, yeah. I agree with that.
Even if they're down.
Yes. Yeah, even if they've been down for a long time. Now, Atlanta, you may find Atlanta with the Falcons. I don't know, the Braves might.
No.
You don't think?
No, I don't think so.
I've just done enough Atlanta games to know that they're not. I don't think they dominate like the Vikings would in Minnesota, or, you know, Buffalo would in Buffalo. That sounded weird, huh? Buffalo in Buffalo. Well, there's some real thinkers.
The other thing,
we live in Buffalo and we're getting a team. What should we call it? Buffalo.
The other thing that kind of disqualifies this whole poll, mm-hmm, is that the Rockies got more votes than the Nuggets. That the Rockies were right there.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Come on.
That's a good call.
Come on. Come on.
Yeah, who did this polling, by the way?
Colorado Polling Institute.
Same people that do analytics in the NFL?
I don't know. But it's one.
Data freaks.
Yeah, exactly.
Data freaks.
But Oh, but our Will Peterson and James Merrillat were quick to jump on it. Oh, the Broncos losing their grip. No, the Broncos.
I bet you those polling people from the Denver Polling Institute were outside trying to look at the solar eclipse yesterday, too. Had a goofy pair of glasses on.
You didn't buy the whole eclipse thing, huh?
No, well, I guess it didn't really happen here or whatever.
It didn't. We only had 65% of totality, I was told.
How do we not get to see it?
We weren't in the path. Now you got to understand that some of these cities that were in the direct path, they're not going to get anything again till like, I mean, I was seeing dates thrown out like 2175 or 2340, you know, which was kind of wild to hear those numbers. But the next time it's supposed to happen here in this country is in 2044, I believe. You can only see it in Montana and like North Dakota. And then 2045, there'll be more of a coast-to-coast path it'll take. But I don't know if we'll be in it.
It happens kind of all the time.
Well, no, not all the time.
Well, enough. It's going to be in Montana. It's like it.
Yeah, but not for like another 20 years.
Imagine
how many people are going to take off for, if people were spending thousands of dollars to go see this.
Right, why? It's like the Stones touring, right? Hey, the next year they'll be up in, these guys live forever, they're well preserved.
There'll always be another farewell tour.
Right.
Right.
Next year they're going to be in Montana and North Dakota, and then they're going to take a year off, and they'll be somewhere else in the Midwest. I don't understand.
Space Boy's not going to be happy with you.
Space Boy, I will say this.
This is a big day for Space Boy.
It was a big day for Space Boy. I tell you what, Space Boy does a lot of calculations because like they know right where the damn thing's going to be. They were camped out with a news nerd guy. Weather guy.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Weather guy. I love this.
Oh, my God.
My guy, Chris Bianchi, 9 News, was down in Arkansas. He was just like.
Oh, really?
Oh, he couldn't contain his enthusiasm.
Like, yeah, all the planets and stars and space stuff. And
that's nerd stuff.
Just, I mean,
look, you can see Venus. There it is.
Just praying for some type of alien abduction so you can get
probed.
Probed.
That's what she said. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. All right. Space guy. I did not. Boy, I wish I'd known about Space Guy yesterday when I was watching some of that. It would have made my.
Let's go to NASA and beat up some space nerds.
How you like that rocket fuel?
Yeah.
What's trending coming up next?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Congratulations to UConn. Congratulations to all of you who picked UConn in the 5K, Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. Which, by the way, was won on the fan staff side of things by Andrew Mason.
My arch nemesis.
That's correct.
No! God, please, no!
Mace finished first, Jake Shapiro second. Mark Schlereth takes home the bronze.
I don't want it. I don't take home bronze medals.
You're only here for the prom queen.
That's right. That is correct.
Well, UConn in dominating fashion, as has been the case all tournament long, they set a NCAA tournament record for biggest combined margin of victory in the process of winning a national championship. Dan Hurley on top of the college basketball world. Of course, we know about his brother, Bobby Hurley. But they're both sons of Robert Hurley Sr., who a legendary high school basketball coach in New Jersey. And, well, let's just say Dan Hurley, proud to be a chip off the old man's block.
And then obviously my dad, you know, it's like my dad, he looks at me and he looks at my brother and he sees us coaching in college and what it would have looked like, you know, for him if he was doing it. You know, so I know it means a lot to me and Bob to we're the version of my father that would be coaching in college. We're, even after back-to-back for me, I'm still just a worse version of him.
Humble comments from a guy who certainly, as this tournament went along, made himself more and more visible out there on the court. Got a warning for pushing one of his players to get into a better position yesterday during the game, came out on the court. So were you entertained by Dan Hurley's histrionics, or did he come across like a real toolbox to you?
No, I didn't mind him at all. He's like, I believe it's one of the things that's missing in sports today to some degree is, are you allowing, even as a parent, are you allowing your kids to be coached, or are they victims? Like, let them be coached, man. There's nothing wrong with getting coached and getting corrected and, you know, getting yelled at a little bit. And
that told you no good. You got to get better.
Those are motivating things. Of course, we've, you know, raising a generation of kids, they're just going to flop on the ground.
Oh, boy.
Cry themselves to sleep.
Rogue, Fever, you got anything to say to that?
I agree.
Yeah. Ooh, way to go, Rogue.
Yeah. When I was playing sports growing up, I was coached hard.
Yeah.
Huh. So. Okay. Okay. Well, it's good. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm encouraged to hear that. And I apologize for automatically thinking that you say something else. Like, shut up, Mark. What do you know? Boomer.
Yeah, exactly.
Get off my lawn, dude.
Boomers ruin all the fun.
Okay, Boomer.
By telling the truth.
More college hoops now that the men's and women's tournaments are over. J.J. Redick on his podcast with LeBron James talking about the growth of women's college basketball.
We'll go down the list. Since the one-and-done era, listen to this. Yeah. This is some of the names of women's college basketball players. And a lot of these players have won the Wooden Award. Candace Parker, and some of them have won it more than once.
Yeah.
Maya Moore, Brittany Griner, yeah. Brianna Stewart, Asia Wilson, Aaliyah Boston, Sabrina Ionescu, Kelsey Plum, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese,
yeah.
Juju Watkins, who's at USC.
Yeah.
That's just to name a few.
Yeah.
And I feel like that, as much as I love the team aspect of basketball, period, the women's game right now, particularly in college, has more icons.
He ain't wrong. We just came off the two tournaments, and the storylines.
He's got a point.
The storylines are far more interesting on the women's side than the men's side. The personalities involved, some of the animosity that was out there, all the things that we find as sports fans to be kind of, you know, juicy. We're on the women's side, and I'll be very curious because the women's number for the South Carolina-Iowa final?
Uh-huh.
18.7 million, making it the most watched basketball game. Men, women, regular season, playoffs, championships. The most watched basketball game since 2019.
What was 20? Does it give you what 2019 game was?
No, I don't have that.
Seems like if you actually did your homework.
Oh my God. Really? You want to know what the last watched, most watched game?
Well, I think everybody.
Since South Carolina, Iowa?
I think everybody's driving around does.
Why don't you maybe comment on that first before you start taking shots at my research?
I'm just telling you that everybody's like, I wonder what the 2019 game was. Nobody knows. Why doesn't it translate then to the WNBA? Why does it not have staying power? If all these iconic, you know, women's college basketball players to have, and I'm not disagreeing with that take. I mean, it's been amazing. But why hasn't it translated? Why does the WNBA still get subsidized? Why can it not have stand on its own two feet?
It's a fair point. I guess there's just maybe something about the affiliation that, you know, you don't have, and WNBA teams just don't have those loyal followings that an Iowa sports team, an Iowa program is going to generate. You got a built-in fan base that probably isn't established yet when it comes to these other teams.
I guess.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
With the success of women's basketball, would you like to see a WNBA team here? Ooh.
Yeah, well, I mean, why not?
I think it would do great.
Well, great is a relative term, right?
I think that in...
Compared to what?
I think in comparison to other WNBA franchises, a Denver WNBA franchise would do great. Yes. I think it would be well-received. Well-received, well-attended. Yes.
All right.
Still can't find out what that other game was. But I can tell you that that number for South Carolina and UConn...
Yeah.
Or
South Carolina, Iowa. Yeah.
Had a bigger number than... As I mentioned, every basketball game since 2019. All right, since the championship game between Virginia and Texas Tech, that had a bigger number.
Hmm. Virginia, Texas Tech.
Hmm, that's weird. Okay.
Well, but that doesn't really do anything for me. It's like just kind of random, isn't it?
Bigger number than every NBA game since the 2017 NBA Finals.
That doesn't surprise me, though.
Every Major League Baseball game since the 2019 World Series.
Doesn't surprise me.
And has a bigger and had a bigger number than every NHL game ever. Hey.
Sorry.
What's that? Did you choke on your coffee there a little bit?
Well, I mean.
Would you like to comment on the fact that women's basketball game got a bigger number than any hockey game ever?
No, I think it pretty much speaks for itself.
Wow. That is.
Yeah. Mm,
hockey guy.
Wow, hockey guy. What do you have to say about that?
How do you respond to that one? Ouch. What,
hockey guys.
Yikes.
Pissed off, right?
Yikes. I mean, at least with the other sports, you can find, you know, not since 2017, not since 2018, right. Not since 2019.
There's never been a hockey game. Ever.
Really? That?
Never been a hockey game that could outrate a women's basketball game.
Huh.
Shame on you, hockey.
Huh.
Shame on you.
Okay. Makes me look...
Maybe if they played a little more physical game, then people would get excited about it.
What is the most popular sport in Colorado poll a little differently as well.
Right.
That'll do it for What is Trending. Coming up next, Telestrator Tuesday. And could this quarterback be sliding, dropping, tumbling to the point where he could land in the Broncos' laps? And if so, what do they do about it? That's next.
It's Telestrator Tuesday.
John Elway, that was a bootleg pass. We talked about the cross. And remember I said how they run those crosses on you? They run those crosses, then you jump up on those crosses, and they get that post in behind you.
Stink takes you into the classroom using the exclusive game film only the Broncos coaches have access to.
If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with Telestrator Tuesday.
Well, this one's interesting to me. And I wonder if this is something that you only see during this buildup to the NFL draft 2 weeks away. Is this a case of what people actually believe, or are there teams out there that are trying to, and this sucks if it happens this way, are trying to poison, besmirch a player's name, work ethic, character, all that, in the hopes that that player will drop to them. Drake May seems to be somebody who is dropping. That went into, when this whole thing all started and we went into this whole quarterback debate, at the time there was a clear separation. There was Caleb Williams and Drake May, and then there was everybody else. Now, without these guys having thrown one single pass in anger in a game, we've seen J.J. McCarthy's stock soar. We've seen Jaden Daniels, not soar, but improved to the point where it goes above Drake May. We've seen Michael Penix's stock soar just because he ran less than a 4.5 40. Even Bo Nix has had pretty positive reviews. There hasn't been a lot of negative Bo Nix reviews, but Drake May's been hearing a lot. The latest comes from former ESPN analyst Merrill Hodge, who you worked with for years.
Yeah, Haji and I are good buddies.
She had Merrill on. Anyway, he said that Drake May is the kind of player that will get you fired. Especially if you draft him in the top five or top three, he's going to get you fired. He compared Drake May to Malik Willis. Said, quote, Willis might be the only guy that I can think of that is as erratic as May. I studied him for 2 years. I watched every one of his games last year. His last game against North Carolina State was probably the most embarrassing display I've seen from a guy who is supposed to be an elite franchise quarterback. He's erratic. He's everywhere. He went on to say, people think his athleticism will translate, but people want him to run and they will bust him up. He's not athletic enough. If he doesn't get down and learn how to do that, he won't last until week 10. Wow. Well, you looked at Drake May film back when this whole exercise began. You looked at it again just to kind of get a refresher. Do you agree with Haji? This is the guy that's going to get you fired.
I have a ton of respect for Merrill Hodge and ton of respect over the years at ESPN that I worked with Merrill Hodge, the years he did the draft. And I'm telling you, Merrill Hodge has been about as accurate as anybody I've ever been around in kind of predicting a guy's ability to translate into the National Football League. So when I watched him, and you know I didn't like him either, because I didn't like him. I didn't like the way he was inaccurate. I didn't like his body mechanics throwing the football. He's big. He is athletic. He's a big physical cat. But, you know, I think so many analysts that prepare for the draft get excited about the fringe things. They get excited about, oh, the guy's got a big-time arm. Oh, the guy made some deep passes that were unbelievable. And my experience tells me it's the guys who can do the boring consistently are the guys who have translatable skills at the next level. And when I watch a guy with loopy mechanics, I watch a guy with inaccuracy issues in the shorter to intermediate routes, it concerns me. Because if you can't do it at the college level where things are wide open, how all of a sudden are you going to do it at the professional level where things are covered? You know, I say this all the time when I'm broadcasting. What is considered completely covered in the college game is wide open in the NFL. And you've got to be able to make those throws. You know, I'll go back to, not that we're smearing Paxton Lynch anymore because we quit that. We started smearing Russ. Because.
Want to get out of the way?
Yeah. Russ. But to go back to Paxton Lynch, those long, loopy mechanics. You know how many times I heard what a big arm Paxton Lynch has? And then we would be at practice. Did he ever impress you with arm talent?
No.
It
to
didn't.
The point where I was like, where's this vaunted arm I heard so much about?
Right. And why is that? Because when you have loopy mechanics, you're just about always late. When you're always late, it's like a baseball pitcher. They always talk about staying, you know, your front shoulder closed, staying behind the baseball. What happens is when you're late, when you pull the trigger, you open up your head, you open up your mechanics. It makes your arm long, and you lose velocity on the football because you're not staying behind it. You're not driving the ball anymore. And then it also ends up, you know, making you miss high and wide or low and into the ground. Because you either hold on to the ball too long and you shove it into the ground, or you let it go too early and it sails on you.
Meanwhile, you look at a guy like Tom Brady right up until his last season, was still throwing,
oh yeah,
a good ball with good velocity. Why? On time, pure mechanics.
Yep.
Allowed the mechanics to work for you.
Yep.
Rather than just trying to force everything.
Unbelievable mechanics with he's one of the guys that uses Tom House and some of the Tom House rules of throwing, but I just look at, if you can't do the boring stuff. Like, everybody gets enamored by the big throws and, you know, the off-schedule stuff. And because they're like, wow, you just can't teach that. Yeah, you're right. But the teachable stuff you're not good at. And if you can't live, and again, I'll give you the 70-30 rule. If you can't live 70% of the time on schedule and completing those balls, you can't survive in the NFL because you're not going to get that many opportunities for the spectacular.
So, you got Merrill Hodges' critique. You got your critique. If Drake May is indeed dropping, I'll ask you a two-part question.
Okay.
Does he, if he starts dropping, do you move up to, try to move up to, I don't know, 9 or 10 or 8 to grab him? Second part question is, if he drops all the way and he's there at 12, would you take him?
If he dropped all, would I take him? No.
You wouldn't take him?
No.
Even if he just drops all the way to 12?
Yeah.
You wouldn't take him?
Why would I take him? Because
now, well, you heard what, go back to what Hodge said. He said, I wouldn't, I don't want to misquote him here. Hold on.
He's the kind of guy
Drake May is the kind of player that will get you fired, especially if you draft him in the top 5 or top 3. He's going to get you fired. So I guess it's okay if you take him at 12 and you end up getting fired?
Well,
or you're less likely to get fired if you take him at 12?
Here's what I would say. There are enough people out there, there are enough teams out there that want that just want something to hang their hat on. Say, look, everybody, look what we did. We won the draft. They want to kick the can down the road. They're not really concerned about winning as much as they are concerned about winning the court of public opinion. So I would think that if Drake May was there, that you could parlay that into multiple picks because somebody would be dumb enough behind you to chase, to run up there and get it. So that would be my guess. And again, if you liked the ball out quick, you like Bo Nix at 12 better than you like Drake May at 12.
Okay, well, all right. Then as you rank the quarterbacks, based on what we know about what Sean has said and what we think Sean wants, what Sean says, it's all about, hey, you know, it's so important to be able to process.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important. You hear these quarterbacks that are being interviewed after the fact and say, man, Denver put us through the ringer. Put me through the ringer.
Yeah.
I had more of a complex, complicated interview or workout with the Broncos than probably anybody else. So if you have an idea, pretty clear idea of what and who, well, what Sean wants, if Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels are out of play, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Rank the remaining quarterbacks in order of who you think is a Sean Payton preferred quarterback. So who would be his most preferred quarterback out of that group left?
I think J.J. McCarthy.
Okay. Then who?
Then I think Bo Nix.
Then who?
Then I think probably Penix.
Penix. And then?
Drake May.
Drake May. Out of the 4 other quarterbacks beyond Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels.
Hmm.
Okay. Be curious to see.
I mean, it'll be obviously.
Does he drop, or was this just simply a case of somebody really trying to poison the well so that they covet him?
Yeah, because which obviously could happen. I just think we're in such a situation where teams are so hard up for a quarterback, and just to take pressure off themselves. And it's not even so much that they believe these guys can play, it just buys them time. Come on, if you're a team or you're a GM that's on a little bit of a hot seat, you buy yourself 2 years with Drake May, maybe 3. Seriously. And that's how some teams think.
Well,
a lot of teams think that way.
That's how a lot of teams think that way.
Yeah.
Make no mistake, when you look at the staggering, pathetic bust rate of these quarterbacks, either these NFL evaluators are just flat out stupid, or they understand that they are simply throwing darts with the idea that if I draft a young quarterback, I buy myself time. Which one is it? Right. Are they truly that dumb, or do they understand, hey, I'm making this move based on creating excitement, potential, and job security? I don't for one minute believe that this guy is going to be the answer. I'm hoping he is, but there's nothing that I believe. But hey, in the meantime, I buy myself some job security.
Yeah, I buy myself some years.
Unfortunately, I would say that.
I think that's.
I would say 80% of the quarterbacks that have been drafted in the top half of the first round have been drafted by guys who go into that pick with that philosophy, mm-hmm. which is pretty sad.
I think there's far more guys in the NFL that are covering their ass when it comes to the draft than there are guys who are bold and who are really about the evaluation. I bet you there's a ton. I bet you could look at all these quarterbacks and you could say on any given draft board, maybe other than Caleb Williams, but I bet you could say we've got six guys that are rated higher than any of the quarterback that we're going to draft.
Yes.
Six, seven players rated higher.
This is sad.
And yet they'll still go after. And I understand the value of the quarterback. But let me ask you this. What's the value of a quarterback who busts? What's that value? And what's made this easy, and this is one of the reasons I thought it was against everything I talked to the PA about when we went into the collective bargaining agreement in 2011. The rookie wage scale is going to ruin things. And it has, because what's happened? You just elevate. Well, it hasn't ruined it. It hasn't. It's ruined it for guys like that I think, like for the league, for the way I think it should operate. But for the teams, you know, the owners who are, you know, billionaires, no, because I can draft a guy, and if he doesn't pan out, it's not going to, it really doesn't hamstring me for any length of time. I just dump him and I move on.